Brandilo.
Good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better, but I'm still kind of weak.
You're home?
Yes, I'm home. I came home yesterday afternoon.
Okay. Well, you sound much better, so may you continue to have a foolish life.
Thank you.
Have you spoken to Malka lately?
No.
Because she indicated she'd had a car accident.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'll try to get in touch.
Get a chance, give her a call.
Okay, I will.
I have a friend, Malka.
Somebody did.
Oh.
So we'll start. The next letter, I'm not going to give you a test today.
Okay.
The next letter is the letter Zion. The Hebrew letter Zion is the seventh. Next to the Vav and before the Chet.
Zion. Okay.
The Hebrew letter Zion is the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a letter that makes the sound Z. Z. The numerical value of a Zion is 7. Here's the Zion, so you can see it. The Zion has an appearance problem. The appearance problem is that the Zion is very similar to the Vav. It has a shape that for some font styles is very similar to a Dalet, except the Dalet is much wider. The Zion is in the same width as the Vav. What's the difference between the Vav and the Zion?
Smaller.
The Zion has a top that goes over the line. The Vav is vertical. The Zion zigzags. But when you write it, nobody zigzags the Zion. They just draw the same vertical line. But the top runs over the line, whereas the Vav, it stops at the line. The seventh letter is the Zion. Its numerical value is 7. It is a letter that makes the sound of Z. It's spelled Zion Yud Nun. Right here. Now, what is the meaning of the word Zion? You've gone your whole life, you've heard the word Zion all the time. What does it mean?
Land, Israel.
Neither one of those are accurate. Zion is the spiritual Jerusalem. Spiritual Jerusalem. Zion, that's where we get the idea that it's the land of Israel. Because the center of the land of Israel is Jerusalem. But what Zion truly represents is that point where the physical meets the spiritual. All of the flow, all of the shefa, all the goodness that comes into our world from the spiritual world, it's coming through Zion. The way you make the Zion you make it in two strokes. The first one you make in a diagonal. And the second one, you don't go to the end of the diagonal, you go back a little bit and then make a vertical line. Trudy, are you able to see this? Oh, okay. The block letter. I haven't taught you any of the written letters because it's not set up to do that. It's just easier to stay with the block because when you read the Siddur, you're getting the block letters.
Okay. So they use in Israel?
They use both. The newspapers, the print, the magazines are all done in block letters. But without vowels. There's no dots. But when you write a letter to somebody or you make a note, you do it in handwriting, isn't it? And then most Americans are never taught the handwriting, so they can't read the notes. You get a letter from somebody in Israel, it's very difficult to decipher. Just like you get a handwritten letter from somebody in English. Can you really read it?
Only while I know it's this.
The Aleph. Yeah. I'm sorry?
You tried to get.
It's the spiritual Jerusalem. It represents, Jerusalem is the center of the world. You've got a circle. Where's the center of the world? It's in the middle of the sphere, right? The earth is a sphere. It's a circle. It's a ball. Where's the center of the earth? In the middle. It's not on the surface. But in our world, the center of Jerusalem, the center of the earth is Jerusalem. Because that's where the flow of Shefa, of goodness from Hashem, comes into the world. And where does it come into the world? Comes into this point called Zion. If you take the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, so the center of the earth is Jerusalem. The center of Jerusalem is the temple. The center of the temple is the Holy of Holies. All because they're talking about where does Shefa come? Where's the flow of goodness come into the world? But the Holy of Holies goes up to infinity. but someplace it reaches, it meets the spiritual. That point where the physical center of the world meets the spiritual flow from of goodness, that point is called Zion. So some people will say, and you see it in the Torah, sometimes it says Zion, and sometimes it says Jerusalem. And people think Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is Israel. But it's misunderstanding. Zion is the spiritual Jerusalem, the spiritual temple, the spiritual Holy of Holies. Can you touch Zion? Not with your physical senses, but you can elevate when you go to sleep and your soul leaves your body. It goes to Zion. 9,000 miles away from Israel. When we go to sleep, our soul goes to Zion. Are we going to the physical land of Israel? No. We're going to that point, which is the entry place to the spiritual. And you can think of that point as being a traffic jam. Because all the souls are going at the same time. But of course, there's no traffic jam, because everyone knows their levels to go to, where they're heading. They want to go to this yeshiva to study. They want to go to that yeshiva to study. But every night we go, we start, after we fall asleep, we start at Zion. That's where our soul has gone. So, are we clear on what is Zion and how to make a Zion? Because we're going on to the next letter unless there's questions. And this is a process, so you can't look at the letters because we're not going to see the letters for a few slides because I have to give you information. Today we are going to learn two Hebrew letters that make a sound that cannot be represented by an English letter. I usually represent the sound by a combination of two English letters, K and H. This represents a sound that is neither K nor H, but somewhere in between. When we make the K sound, our tongue touches the roof of our mouth, K, and completely blocks the flow of air. As long as the tongue is there, there's no flow of air. You're not breathing, you're not inhaling, you're not exhaling. What is it doing? Whatever air is in front of your tongue, you're continuing to blow it out because the tongue is vibrating slightly. K. Just, it's instantaneous. You don't notice that you have stopped breathing. When we make the K sound, and the air is stopped. So let's, next slide is 104. When we make the H sound, our tongue is very slightly arched, not touching nor coming close to the roof of the mouth. H. You feel the arch in your tongue? It's not flat. There's like a little curve, but your tongue is touching your teeth. H. You see, the tongue is a muscle, and so it's what's being described as what's happening. Now, the KH sound happens when the tongue is between these two positions, not touching the roof of the mouth, but close enough that we can hear the sound of the air that it, as it squeezes through that narrowed passageway between the two positions. If the sound of a hiss is made by air squeezing between the tip of the tongue and the teeth, the sound of the KH is similar, but with the squeeze point near the back of the mouth. Some native speakers distinguish between the sound of the two letters we will learn today. I cannot hear the difference, nor can I make two different sounds for the two letters. I do them both the same way. Sometimes you may see these letters transliterated as CH, not KH. That can lead to the serious error of thinking that the sound is like the English sound in chocolate. It is not chocolate. Not even close. So it is better to use the KH as the English letters to represent these strange Hebrew sounds. These two letters, along with some others, are usually referred to as guttural or laryngeal letters. There are a total of five letters in this category, and they have been called the throaty five in some books. Actually, the first letter that we learned, remember the first letter we learned? Aleph is in this group. There is a connection between where the tongue is placed for the Aleph and where it is placed for the KH letters. But with the Aleph, there is no airflow, so there's no hissing sound. The technical term for the sound represented by the Aleph is a glottal stop, meaning the airflow is momentarily completely blocked. Ah, ah, the tongue is touching the roof of the mouth and there's no air movement. Say oh, oh, and take note of your tongue position just before making the O sound, O. It was pressed against the roof of the mouth, stopping the airflow. Then when it moves down, the O explodes out of your mouth. O. You don't say O without first putting it your tongue at the top of your mouth. If you want to see O-O in Hebrew letters, it's right there, Aleph Vav, O-O. Now, I've given you this information. The letter that we're going to learn, first of the five, or the second of the five, because the Aleph is already, we've learned. This Hebrew letter, Chet, is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a letter that makes the guttural sound, Chet. The numerical value of a chet is 8. You see the difference between these two letters. A hey, or a het. They look the same, almost. What's the difference?
One is open. A is open.
The hay has a space on the left arm. As Sheila said, it's open. The het is not. In the Asherit script, in the Torah script, when you see a het, it's made by a vav on the left, a zion on the right, and a little carrot, a little house connecting the two. You're not seeing it on here, because he didn't show it. But if you let me have your siddur. Let me see if I can find one. See, this is the block script. Tzadi Ket. The block script is three lines. It doesn't. It's not made the way that it's done in the Torah. In the Torah, you have a vav on the left arm, a zion on the right arm, and there's a two lines that form the roof of a house that connect the two. So when you're reading it from the Torah, you need to understand that. That's why I'm telling you. But most of the time, you're going to be reading the Siddur just to be aware. In the Siddur, the Chet looks like a hay, except there's no space. The eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Chet. And the Chet has a guttural sound of the KH. This is the same sound as the Chaf, which we will also learn today. We will now learn how we can write the block form of this letter, Chet. And please look at the spelling before we move on. Chet, Yud, Tav. Anybody want to practice the sound? Chet. Guttural sound, is it? Chet. Chaf.
A lot of Americans can't say.
Most Americans cannot say Chet. You have to have... Basically, the Chet is coming from the German sound. The German is a guttural language. The same thing with Hebrew. It has a guttural sound. English, you don't have that. You have to form it by putting K and H together. You have to form it by putting C and H together, as some people do. But as he said earlier, it leads you to a pronouncing it not correctly.
I heard an announcer say one time, Merry Christmas and a Happy Chanukah.
We've all heard that. So the way to write the letter is Chet is in two strokes. The same way as almost everything we've learned is two strokes with a few... Three strokes. two strokes is top left, across, and down is the first stroke. And then the second stroke is the full line down on the left.
Is it indented or not? On the left.
It is indented, but doesn't have to be. Many people do it at the end. The reason they're showing it is indented is because of to emphasize the uplift, the little yud at the top. But when you're writing it in handwriting or in block letters and you're writing it, you don't make that uplift. So it just is on the end. Exactly. It looks like a dalet with a vav. Here you see it's showing it as indented. Or it can be made right at the end. Now we've learned the kaf, correct?
Who is that?
It's the one after the yud. We've learned the kaf. The meaning of the kaf is a palm. The sound of the palm, palm of your hand. The chet the letter chet as the meaning of a sin.
What?
A sin. S-I-N in English. Doesn't seem right that a Hebrew letter would have a nature of a sin, does it? Doesn't sound right. Doesn't seem right. It's counterintuitive. I'm sorry? Where did the sins come from? Did God create the sins? Well, God created the potential for sins. When you tell someone, pick up the plate, the choice is to either pick up the plate or to leave it on the table. One is a good action, one is a sin, one is a negative action. So what creates the negative action? In potential, what's created the negative action is the fact that there was an order. There was a suggestion. Pick up the plate. Now the person has a choice. Do I follow that order or do I move away? So we can understand the difference between potential and actual when it comes to God created sins, but not in the actual, only in the potential. It's a human's free choice that changes the potential of the sin to the actual of the sin. What made Joseph a righteous person that we call him Hasadik? Joseph Hasadik, the righteous. He was involved Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce him. He wanted to be with her. They're both nude. And he says no. He changed the actual back into potential. The actual was starting to happen because he was erect, he was excited, he wanted this woman. But he said no, he stopped. And when he stopped, the actual went back to potential. And he became righteous. We call him Hasadik. When you control your impulses to do a sin and don't do it, that's how you become righteous. But we have to understand what is the real meaning of the word sin. What is a sin?
Wrong doing. Against God.
You think God cares if I sin? It goes on my record. Yes, it is recorded because there's no disappearance in spirituality or really in physicality. It's always there. It's on my record. But does God care if I sin? Does he stop giving me energy if I sin? He'll give me less energy to do less things, but he doesn't stop the energy. He still gives me enough energy to breathe. He still gives me enough energy to eat. In truth, God does not care whether we sin or we don't sin. Why? Because God knows, ultimately, every human being is going to become righteous. Every human being is going to take control of their evil impulses.
Yeah.
No. That's what the Torah teaches us. I'm not an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. The Torah teaches us every human being will be resurrected. The Torah teaches us only tzaddikim are going to be resurrected. It's obvious every human being will eventually be a righteous person. The question is, how long will it take? How much pain and suffering do they have to create in their lives till they wake up and say, I better study the Torah? God does not care if I sin or if I don't sin. What he does care is that I follow the plan of creation, which ultimately is that every human being will become righteous. But this is the conflict. If I'm going to become righteous and I'm not yet righteous, why should I work so hard to become righteous? But the reward is the same. We're all going to be righteous. That's the reward. The question is, you have to have more suffering if you don't follow the rules of the Torah. Yes. And who wants suffering? None of us want it. Unless you're a masochist, and we know that's an aberration, that's an illness. Now, God loves us as a parent loves a child. Does a child learn by falling down when he's learning to walk? Can the parent stop the child from falling down? He can try. Would the parent like to download into the child not to fall and how not to fall and all the correct actions to do to walk? Yes. But would the child actually learn to appreciate walking if he never fell? This is the idea of what is a sin. A sin is a mistake. You make a mistake, you suffer the consequences, you cleanse the mistake by suffering the consequence, and you move on. And you don't make that mistake again. Unfortunately, the human being forgets. The next letter is the Tet. The ninth letter, it's the letter before the Yud. The Tet is the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is another letter that makes the sound of T, the same sound as the Tav, which we have already learned.
Who's the Tav?
The last letter. So the Tet is the ninth letter. It makes the sound of T. Look at the way the letter is spelled. Tet Yud Tav. Look at the shape of the Tet. You can't see it, but it's this side is a Kaf. But we've lowered the top of the half circle. Remember, look at the Kaf on the paper.
Where's that?
The letter after the Yud.
Oh.
Okay. Now lower the top, and it will look like this portion of the Tet. A Tet is made from a Kaf and a Vav. I'm sorry? It can be also a Zion. There's only one path, one stroke to make a Tet. You start at the top left, come down, then across, then up, and then down at a diagonal. Down, across, up, and diagonal. The tav is the other one. Yes.
The dot.
be either way. The Taf is with the dot. A dagesh. A tav with the dagesh, a sav without the dagesh, a tet, dagesh doesn't enter into it. Okay. Tav, T-A-V. Tet, T-A-I-T. So what is the energy of a tet?
Tet?
Tet.
Oh, tet.
Remember we learned a chet? Now this is a tet. It's almost the same sound, but there's no K there. It's not a chet, it's a tet. Am I sounding Southern? What is the essence of a tet? Look at the shape of the tet. It's circle and a line, but it's separated. The kaf and the vav, or the kaf and the zayin. Everything is made of circles or lines. You can make any shape in the universe with a circle or a line. But when they're separated, you can't make every shape. A circle cannot make every shape. A line cannot make every shape. The energy of the tet is process. You can't build something without a circle. You can't build something without a line. They're separated, but when you build them, you put them together in different ways. That's process, step by step. That's the energy of the tet, step by step. Say again. It's the next letter, actually. And we have enough time, perhaps. We'll see. More than likely we do. The letter Yud. All of a sudden it got excited and left, jumped around. So now we got to get back to it. Yes.
Yes,
that's a whole other discussion. The letter Yud is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it makes the sound of a Y. Yellow, yes, that's the sound of the Yud. The numerical value of the Yud is 10. It is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Every other letter, when the scribe puts the letter on the Torah scroll, he starts by making a yud. And then he fills in the rest of it. But every letter starts with a yud. Why? The essence of the yud is the first letter of Hashem's name, yud hey vav hey. The essence of the yud is Hashem. It is also a vowel, and it can serve as a vowel helper. We'll come to understand what that means. So the first thing we're going to do is learn how to write the yud. As a memory aid, if you need it for the yud, it's a itsy bitsy letter. Itsy bitsy. Not itsy bitsy, itsy bitsy. Look at how the yud is spelled. Yud, vav, dalet. How would you pronounce that?
Yud.
Or yod. Either way is correct. There's no dots there, is it? The root vowel of the yud is the O sound, yo. Why does Rocky always say yo? He doesn't know it, but he was connecting to God. One stroke to make the yud. But what other letters do make that same stroke?
Lamed.
Right. What else? A resh. A dalid. What's the difference between a resh and a yud? The size. The yud is the smallest letter. The resh is larger. The resh is curved. So is the yud. Chai is spelled Chet Yud. Yes, but look at the Yud. It's Chet Yud. Chai is a word. It's Chai is two letters. It's spelled Chet Yud. Chet is eight, is gematria. Yud is 10. 8 plus 10 is 18. The word chai is 18, spells life. Look at the square. The yud is in the top right corner. It's small. When you make a yud, you're not using the full space. You have to realize that. I think we're about done time-wise. Yeah. We'll stop here and pick up the half. Next week. Are there any questions? At the conference call, are there any questions?
No questions.
You have a beautiful day and Shabbat Shalom. There are two classes tonight. One at 4:30 West Coast time for the Deep Zohar class, and one at 7, which will be a regular Zohar class. Shalom to all.